Of course, we grant.
Okay. Alrighty. So we're doing a little Hagazel. Okay, third parak in Sukkah. Daf Chaf Tes Amud Beis. Okay. So the Mishnah says as follows. So my lulav. Lulav Hagazel. So stolen lulav. Yeah, Yavish or dried out lulav. Pasul. It's pasul. Can't use it for the mitzvahs. Shel asherah v'shel yarni dachas, a lulav from an asherah is like a avodah zara tree, or from the yarni dachas, from a city which was an avodah zara city, and the halacha of these types of trees is you're chayiv to destroy them, to burn them, so also possibly, and you can't use those for the mitzvah, they're disqualified. Niktam rosho, if the head of it is cut off, nifritzu alav, or its leaves are broken, pasul. And it's also pasul. Nifridu alav, if its leaves are separated, kasher. Okay, it's kasher. Rabbi Yehuda omer yogdenu milamayla. He says if the leaves are separated, then you have to bind it on top. Not sure if that means anything. Okay. Okay. Sinei har barzel ksheros. Okay. So Gemara is going to say whatever. That's different. It's a small lulav, so whatever, but they're also good. Okay, and then it says, lulav sheshbo kshosha tofim k'teila naneya bo kasher. So lulav that has three tofim, to shake it, is kasher. Okay, so that's just how big the lulav has to be. Okay, so let's see some rashis. Okay. Yeah, I think move it further away from the... That's why I put it there. What? Okay, can you please hit mute? Okay. Hit me out. Maybe you can turn it on mute, please. That's been too long. I don't know what happened. Me out.
Mike, you there?
Maybe someone's using the factory. Okay, can you put on mute, please?
Mike, are you there?
Call right back. No, you're okay. You can just mute it, please.
Okay,
he'll probably call right back now. Okay, a little action here. Yeah, okay, fine. So let's see some Rashi's on the Mishnah. So Rashi says, Lulav Hagazel, Lulav Kafshel Tamarim. Okay, so it's like the branches of the date tree. Hadar Tani Hadas Arava Bapi Nasher. So the Gemara is gonna, the Mishnah is gonna later mention Hadas Arava later. But now we're just talking about lulav itself. Okay, fine. Gazol Psul Ulakachlam Lachem Ksev. So stolen one is possible because it says you shall take for yourself, Mishal Lachem, from something that which you own. Okay, fine. Yavesh. Yavish, if it's dried out, it's possible. Why? Deba'inon mitzvah muhuderas. So you need a mitzvah which is, I guess, muhuderas, like beautified, something like that, right? Or it's a better. I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's kind of what we'll see. Have to see, but dechsev anvehu, and you should beautify him. Zekeli anvehu. No, he's like beauty. So this is my God, and I will beautify him, so to speak. Okay, anvehu. Okay, well, we'll get to this. Shela Sheira, so this is Elon Sheovdim Oso, Avod Zara. So it's a tree which they worship it. Okay, the Vigmar first time. Shelayin Adachas, Mishun de la Strefa Kai. So the tree of an Yerni Dachas is chayiv to be burned. The Chsiv asks Kol Shalal Tikvots. Because you have to gather all the booty, all the spoils of this town, of the Yerni Dachas, you have to gather together and burn. Velula Bo Yishior, Dalad Tvachim. And the lulav needs a size, a minimum size of 4 tvachim, 4 hand breaths. Kedil kamon, v'kivon dehai l'sreifa ka'i. Since this is to be burnt, right, it's supposed to be burnt, in shiro kayam. Its shiur does not exist. Doesn't still exist. De kesarav tami, because it's like it's already burnt. Okay, since it says awaiting being burned, it's like it's already burnt, and therefore it doesn't have shear. Okay, it doesn't have the quantity of four tefachim. Okay, fine. So maybe let's just stop here. I mean, this is we have a lot of stuff here already, but this is what I don't take up for starters. Okay. So basically, basically the problem is, so what's the deal? Is because of the thing is you're chayiv to burn it, therefore it's like it's already burned, and therefore it doesn't have shear. It doesn't have quantity. It doesn't have the shear. The lulav has to have four tefachim, and since this lulav, which is chayiv to burn it, it's like it's already burned, therefore it no longer has the shear. It's like it's not four tefachim long anymore. Okay, and therefore it's possible. Okay, any question? Right. Right, so it's like Danny's saying is that if it's just the tag back in. It was, yeah, that if the thing is really like it's burned, it's good? Okay. Yeah, now if it's burned, you know, okay. Yeah, so if the thing is really like it's burned, well, first of all, what does it mean it's like it's burned? It's not burned. Right? I mean, it's not burned. It hasn't been burned. It means like it's burned. Right, that's one question. But even if you want to say it's like it gets burned, so you don't have lulav anymore. What do you mean you don't have the shear? I mean, it's here. So if you'll tell me it's like it's burned, then say you don't have lulav. It's not lulav. You'll say, no, well, that is lulav. It's right here. Well, that is four tefachim. Right? Like, well, what does it mean? What does it mean that since it's like it's burned, therefore it no longer has shear to it? Therefore, it's not, it doesn't have four tefachim to it. Right? I mean, it doesn't. That's what you're saying, right? Mm-hmm. If you're saying it's like it's burned, then say there's no lulav, you're not taking lulav. It's the Torah says take lulav, you're not taking lulav. If you'll say, well, what do you mean? It is a lulav after all. Well, it is four tefachim after all. What does that mean? It's like its shear is taken away. In shiro kayam. Take a sarf. It doesn't have shear because it's like it's burned. Right? And anyways, it sounds like magical. Because it's supposed to be burned, so everyone's like it's burned, but it's not burned. And it's four tefachim, and it's a lulav. So the whole thing is hard to understand. Right? What does it mean, it's like it's burned? It's not burned. Okay, let's try this. Right here, let me try an approach, methodology here. What would be a good methodological question here? Yeah, okay, good. Okay, good. So I think that's good. Methodologically, maybe we could take a step back, because this question is very difficult. What is, like Danny says, what is the fact that it's supposed to be burned that's into its shear? So maybe that's a difficult question, and we seem to be grappling with it, and we can't really come up with a good answer to that. So maybe what Matt's suggesting is, why don't we consider what's the deal with shear? What's the halacha of shear? You know, what's pshat in the halacha of shear? I mean, to drive home the problem is, why do I need a shear? I don't mean to ask a why question, but like what? The Torah says take a lulav. I took a lulav. So who cares if it's not the right size? And this is a question in general in shear. I mean, a shear is a universal thing. It's not only lulav. But what's the deal with shear? Right? It says take a lulav. I took a lulav. So it's 3.5 tefachim. Big deal. I mean, did I take a lulav? Did I not take a lulav? So what's the... And I'm not really asking like why. I'm just saying how or how. Well, what's the halacha of shear such that, what's the sense of the halacha? Just, I mean, someone could ask, what's wrong? Is this a lulav? What does the lulav mean? Palm branch? So it's a palm branch. There's a shear. So you could say, look, that's the halacha. In a certain sense, yeah, that is the halacha. It's halacha from Sinai, it's an axiom, but like, could we, maybe if we, see, if we think of shear as just meaning, well, it has to be a certain size. That's it. Well, then this lulav of Yerandachas is that size. So then that's it. To that end. Right? So, but maybe there's another answer we could give, another sense we could give to the halacha of shear, which will be able to include not only something which is less than four tefachim, but it will also be able to include the tzirin dachas, the thing which is like it's burned. Yeah. You're right. Okay, good. So we got a Matt and Sammy tag team here. There's an idea of chashivas. Chashivas, significance. His saying is like, yeah, like, for instance, to take an extreme example, I guess what Danny was getting at, if you take a teensy-tiny palm branch, it could be like a millimeter, and look, it is a palm branch. But its saying is that not any, palm branch registers is significant enough to be to qualify as a chavetz shel mitzvah. But it needs to have a certain chashivas. It has to have grown enough that it's certainly the no one will say I could take a 1 millimeter palm branch and use it. Certainly, I take a 5 foot one, that will be good. Now, where do you draw the line at which it's significant enough such that it's that meets the mark, where it's, it has the level of chashivas necessary to be to qualify for a mitzvah lulav? So that's the shir. That's where you need an axiom. You need a shir. The Torah defines the quantity at which we draw the line. It has to be drawing a line. You have to draw a line somewhere. And where she say a tiny bit less is not good, a tiny bit more is good. You have to draw a line. At which point, but the idea is, it's not because a lulav has to be 4 tefachim. What's so magical about 4 tefachim? But the idea of 4, the concept of 4 tefachim, is it's a quantity of chashivas, of significance, such that when it has this level of significance, it's grown up enough, it's fully developed enough, it's big enough, that it registers as a chavtza for shel mitzvah, as a chavtza for mitzvah lulav. Okay, it's the quantity is a din chashivas. Okay, you have it similarly by and I think there's a proof to this. Is you have this by eating, for instance, you're not allowed to eat pig, but if I eat a teeny bit of pig, in terms of the primary sir, is I'm not really over this of eating pig, because that's not enough. It's not significant. I haven't eaten a significant amount of it to register as achila, and that's not only that's not pig, but it's not an achila. I take a tiny bit of food, smallest piece of food, I put it in my mouth, you would say, I've ate, yeah, it's not a chila. Well, you didn't say, well, that's a human activity of eating. Well, I take a tiny bit of something and put it in my, you know, smallest thing. So I, but you ate, but apparently it's not significant enough that we'll call it a chila. So the shear, when you have a certain quantity, that's halachically defined as ma'aseh achila. So in any area, you have to, there are quantities at which something goes from insignificant and irrelevant, and basically for practical purposes, nothing, to something. And that's the idea of a shir. Shir is when it meets a certain amount of chashivas that you register as the whatever halachic property it should have. And there's, I think, a good proof to this. Does anyone know of an exception to, it's machlokas, but an exception when you don't necessarily need a kazayas? And eating, you violate Nesar. So it's a sugya makos, but a beria, if you swallow an entire animal, an entire bug, an entire whatever, so that's a machlokas. It's a machlokas whether that's the chaya. I'm not sure we're asking, but whether that's gets around the din of a kazayas. Okay, it's a beria. It's a beria with an atzma. Who would want to? People who eat bugs. So why? Why is that? Why? How could I? But it's not a kazayas. Kazayas is a kazayas, right? But the answer is because that's chashiv. Because it's chashiva. See, you could have something that could be significant because of its quantity, or it could be significant because of the quality. It's an entire living, breathing entity. Okay, so that also gives significance. You see, for instance, by bittel, something is bittel, but a beria isn't bittel. Something, a whole entity. Because a bittel means it's nullified. It's insignificant in the context of a mixture. But a beria has a certain midrash, I think it's a drabanan, but a beria has a certain chashivas that it's not batal. So you see, the idea of a kazayas, at least, is an idea of a chashivas, and that's why in theory it could be you get around it if the thing is a beria, because the beria gives it significance qualitatively. Rather, you say something teensy tiny is not significant. Yeah, but if it's, let's say, a cancer cell, or I don't know, I mean, certain types of things, they'd be very tiny, but they're very, very significant. You know, or some sort of poison, some lethal poison. You know, yeah, a tiny bit of wine is nothing. Yeah, but a tiny bit of cyanide is very significant. So sometimes, significance could oftentimes depend upon, qualitatively, it could depend on what you're dealing with. So saying a beria could have significance of an atma. Perhaps. So you could look at it, it's a machlokas. So if you say that the idea of a shiur is that a lulav is not just sufficient that it's a palm branch, but it has to be a significant palm branch, significance as is measured by shiur, so then you could say that what I think what Matt was saying originally is good, is that if the thing is omeid lisrof, the thing is basically, it's existing by the seat of its pants, right, it's omeid to be burned, it's halachically, basically it's kasarof, it's So basically, it's not an object which you consider existing. I mean, yeah, it exists, but it's like a guy on death row. The guy is, so to speak, he's alive, but he's not really part of the world. I mean, he's on his way out. So that it could be as beautiful as he wants and as big as he wants, but that lacks the chashivas. The shame of Omed Lisarov, undermines its significance as an object. Okay, the significance, like a person could be an Adam Chashev, like a person could be significant as a mashal, but a person could be a Chashev, like a Saddam Hussein, let's say, is a Chashev guy. But when he's on death row, about to be hung, he's not significant anymore. So you see the idea is when something's existence is on the brink, and halachically it's Omed Lisarov. So basically, in terms of significance, it's like it's already burned. It doesn't retain any significance anymore. So it's true, physically it has the size to it. But since the whole function of the size is to give it a certain din of significance, that's saying is halachically, once it's kesarif, then it's meksuse. As it says, meksuse mechdas yure. That's the way they say it. Is that lashon here? And here it just says it's ein shiur kayim. Shiur doesn't exist. But another place the lashon is that its shiur is cut off. It means like it has the shiur, but it's like it doesn't have the significance of the shiur. It's like the shiur is like cut away from it. It means the function of the shiur, namely to give it chashivos, is like it's cut off and non-existence.
An entity,
a halachic entity? Yeah, I mean, when it has chashivos, then it registers as a halachic chavtza shel mitzvah, as a chavtza shel lulav, shel mitzvah. Right? A lulav isn't just a palm branch. A lulav is a chavtza shel mitzvah, which is the underlying substance is a palm branch, but it's a significant palm branch, a certain type of palm branch which has significance. And for it to register, means it registers as a halachic entity vis-a-vis mitzvah lulav. I mean, I don't know, it could be registered as a halachic entity vis-a-vis some other frame. I don't know if necessarily with the shear in one framework, if lulav had relevance vis-a-vis some other area, maybe it could have a different shear. You know, like, I don't know, vis-a-vis hotzah, maybe it would have a different shear. I'm not saying all areas of halacha are exactly identical, but for it to be seen, the Torah's koveya shear for each framework. In the framework of mitzvah lulav, the shear to be significant where a palm branch becomes a chavtza shel lulav is where it grows a certain amount, so now it's now it's this length. Like I say, the shear here is because it has to be subject to nianua, as in you could shake it. So there's a certain size, like a tiny branch, since all mitzvah is shaking it, or part of the mitzvah is shaking it, I mean, that's part of the sense of it. So if it's shaking, so look, a palm branch, which is 1 millimeter, yeah, in terms of botanically, it could be it's still a palm branch. But since it's like a chavtza shel nianua, the shear is not just where a botanist would say it's a palm branch, but it's a vehicle of shaking, or whatever reason shaking is part of the mitzvah. But that's a question, like where the shear comes in, like how that's Gemara is trying to commission. I mean, we went on this again, but that's why the shear is for tvacha, and it has something to do with that. But that's just the din and the significance. Significant in the framework of Nianua. But it's din of chashivas. Yeah, so I think the methodology point is a good one here. I mean, I don't know if this is necessarily, it's hard to know exactly methodology how to approach a problem, but there's always different ways to go. I mean, I think at first what you guys did is good, is try to just answer it head on. You know, what's wrong with it? Well, one way to go is, what's the idea of kesarif? In what sense is it like it's burned? And then try to figure that out, and then deal with shear afterwards. But if you don't get anywhere with that, or it doesn't quite work out, then you could say, well, because bottom line problem is, what does it do with shear? So you could wonder, well, what's the concept of shear? And think into that. And that, I think, ends up being productive here. You know what I mean? There's two routes to go, you know, but it's always, you know, when you get stuck on one route, then it's to go the other route. Okay, so now let's turn to the next thing. The next issue is, what's wrong with the dried up lulav? Okay? So Rashi on the Mishnah says, because you need a mitzvah muhudar. You need to be like a beautiful mitzvah. But the pasuk says, Zekeli van vehu. Zekeli, this is my God and I will adorn him. Okay? Which is a general principle that a person should do mitzvahs in a beautiful way. Okay, do mitzvahs in a beautiful way.
Rabbi
Taylor? Yes. Yeah. Okay, so again, so back to the... So Rashi's saying is that the reason why the lulav is just dried out as possible is because it's not beautiful, it's not adorning. You're not adorning the mitzvah. Zekeli van vehu, you need a mitzvah, move the deras. You have to adorn mitzvahs. Okay? Fine. So Tosos is bothered. Okay? So he says, the lulav yavish pasul. Stop Tosos. The Mefarsh Begamarim Shem the Iskesh Lul of Asrog the Chsev Behadar. So here's the problem. There's a much simpler reason. Because what's it? Look, Kamosh Beis Kamosh Beis Kamosh Beis Kamosh Beis Kamosh Beis Kamosh Beis. Okay, so basically, it's like it says pre Eitz Hadar. By Esrog, it's a fruit, a beautiful fruit. That's the definition. The Torah describes, the very description of an Esrog is a fruit of the tree which is beautiful. Okay, so the definition of an Esrog is it's a beautiful fruit. It's a Mechudar, beautiful fruit. And there's a comparison between Esrog and Lulav, Old Alaminim. So there's a din of Hidor intrinsic in the din and the definition of the minim of the four species is beauty. So saying that's why if it's dried out as possible. It's dried out as possible because that's not the minim, that's not the species of the of lulav. But it's not, he says, that's why it's possible. But not because you're chayev to beautify it, because the general principle of beautifying a mitzvah is just the principle of l'chachila. It's good, you should always do your best to beautify mitzvahs. But that's not me'akev. You don't disqualify a halachic entity because it's not beautiful. But in general. But the reason why this is disqualified is because the very definition of the pasuk of the lulav, of the lulav is beautiful. Of the esrog, and there's a comparison between lulav and esrog. But the idea of beautifying mitzvahs is a generic idea that a person should always try to beautify his mitzvahs. He should make a good, nice sefer Torah, and a nice tefillin, and nice. He should always. It's a general principle. He should be, you know, zekim avei. He should always beautify, do things beautifully in mitzvahs. And that's a kiyum. It's an enhancement. It's an enhancement of mitzvahs. You're recognizing that God, and this is an important thing, and therefore you relate to it as a special thing, whatever. But that's not ma'akev. If you don't have beautiful sefer Torah, look, there's beautiful sefer Torahs. No, not beautiful sefer Torahs. Doesn't mean the thing is not, you have a beautiful handwriting, and you can have another beautiful handwriting. Doesn't mean the thing is disqualified. So if you tell me because I need to make my do with the mitzvah of lulav in a beautiful way, okay, fine, that's true. It's nice to do it in a beautiful way, but why is it disqualified? But I'll tell you why it's disqualified, because the very definition of an esrog is a beautiful entity. The definition of Torah is not a beautiful entity. The definition of Torah is a book, which a scroll, which has certain words on it. So if it's beautiful or not beautiful, it's the right definition of the object. So therefore, it's not disqualified if it's not beautiful. But in an esrog, the definition of the thing is beautiful. So since the definition of the thing is beautiful, if it's not beautiful, it's not the right entity. So why, as we're saying, is why is Rashi using this generic idea of anvehu, of beautifying mitzvahs? He should have just said, because the chafza is a priyat adar, is a beautiful entity. So he says, and he's proving, he's going to prove that it's not possible if you're lacking just in beautifying the mitzvah. He says, "Can the muchach perakama deamrina and damri rabbanon lulav mitzvah laogdo?" So it's a mitzvah to bind the lulav and together with the hadasim and the ravos. Right? We do this. We bind it together. So mitzvah to do that. Mishum shenemar zakei levaveyu, because it says you should beautify the mitzvah. And it's beautiful. If you have like a bundle, it's like beautiful. As opposed to having individual things, this flying here, this going there, it's tied together. It looks like a nice bundle. It's like a certain idea, like you have flowers are tied together, there's an idea of like a bundle of vegetation, so it's a beautiful. So lo agdo, the Gemara says, but if you don't do it, kosher, right? It's kosher. So I see why is it kosher, because apparently the halacha of beautifying the mitzvah is not ma'akev. It doesn't disqualify the mitzvah. It's nice to do, but it's not ma'akev. So if you Rashi are telling me the reason why a lulav which is dried out as possible is because you're not beautifying the mitzvah, it shouldn't be ma'akev. It should be ma'akev, just like if you don't bind it. But it is ma'akev. Right? But it is ma'akev. So why is it ma'akev? Because this idea of hadar. Because it's not hadar. Right? And that's part of the definition of the thing.
Applicable.
Yes. This criticism on the Rashi. Rashi is in the general principle, the idea of hidur mitzvah. And that principle is not ma'akev. So, but this Mishnah is saying possible. So, and he's ignoring the open, then the thing is not the right entity, it's supposed to not Hadar. Right? It's a compelling problem. I mean, it's Rashi is difficult. Rashi is difficult. Okay, I mean, Rashi is difficult.
Similar,
right? I know. It's true. I mean, the truth is advancement, they're still similar. We have to define exactly the difference between the two, they sound very similar. Yeah, I mean, this needs some definition here, right? Okay, so let's not let's just Let's leave this question. Let's take another problem, okay? And we'll try to take them both tomorrow. Okay, so then you have this machlokes in the Mishnah. Again, if the lulav, let's read the Rashi on it. Nifridu alav. That's what happened. Rashi, Niktam Rosho, Pasul, all that. So if the top of the thing gets cut off, so then it's Pasul, because it's not beautiful. Nifritsu, Allah, Mishedra, so if the leaves basically separate off from the Shedras, like the spine, the middle leaf in the middle, Ve'ina Mechubarim, they're not attached to the spine anymore. Ela Alide Aguda, but simply by the Yotai, by the binding, by the rope or whatever. Kichuf Yashakorin, Ashkuba lavadehu. So it's not beautiful, and that's possible. So if the leaves become separated, and you just tie them together with the string, so that's also possible. But nifridu alav, if they separate, mechubarim hein b'shedra, they're attached to the spine, ela shelomayla hein nifradim, lekan ve'ilan. So it means that down at the bottom of the spine, they're attached. But then above, it spreads out. It's not attached on the top, it's just attached on the bottom. So it's basically fans out. It's like a big fan, but they're still attached. So that's what it's saying is it's kasher. Then Rabbi Yehuda says, no, yogdenu milamayla. Im nifridu alav yogdem shi olam im hashedra kashahu lavim. So he's holding that you're chayiv, apparently you're chayiv, to bind them together. He's agreeing that if they fan out, it's kasher. But he says you're chayiv to tie it up. Seemingly, if you don't tie it up, then it's going to be impossible. Right? Me puzzle. So that's the question. If they fan out, but they're still attached, do you say it's good like it is? Well, Tanakh apparently doesn't hold you don't have to do that. What do you say? You have to tie them together. Tie them. So look at the Ran. The Ran explains this a little bit. So the Ran is on your in the Daf Aref in Sukkah. It's on Daf Yudalidim at Beis. Nifridu Alav Kasher. Okay. So he says it's a paragraph Nifridu. So it says, Shenefrodim Lakan Lakan Kan Feilan. So it's like spread out, like the leaves of a tree. The Alpha Gav, the Chesiv, Kapos. What is it? Kapos, I think it means like a bundle. I think so, right? Didn't really know? Yeah, I think it means like a bundle. So even though it's like our bound maybe. So even though it says Kapos, the Lamda should take Kapos. So it says it should be like bound. Kivan Sheroi. L'chafoso, since it's fit to bind it up, ein kfisa me'akeves bo. So you don't have to actually bind it up. Since you could bind it up, okay, it's fit to be bound up, you don't have to actually do the binding. Aval choros, she'ein roi l'chafoso, kfisa me'akeves bo. So choros, yeah, okay, so choros means, it's a gemara lama beis man alef. It's basically, it's like, it's dried up, it's hard. So if it basically gets spread out and gets hard, so you're not going to be able to, bind it together, because it's going to crack or whatever, it's solid. So if it spreads out, so this is what he's saying, if it spreads out, but it's still soft, so it's fit to bind together, you could just, push the sides together and bind it. So then you don't have to actually bind it. It's enough, it's efficient if you don't actually bind it. But if it's not fit to bind because it's too hard and you're not going to be able to push the sides back together, then he says the thing is possible. Well, you're not going to be able to bind it. It's not possible.
So that first thing he said is only for the sheet that holds, that you do have to bind it?
No, this is the sheet that holds, you don't have to actually bind it. So he's saying the reason why you don't have to actually bind it is because that's halacha, that even though it says kapos, which means that it's bound, so it doesn't have to actually be bound, it just has to be fit to be bound. So it's saying here it's fit to be bound, but if it's actually like dried up so that it fans out and now it's dry and not able to bind it, so then that's possible. So the same thing, it's fanned out, spread out, could be kosher, could be possible, depending whether it's fit to be bound together. Okay? So, and he says, like Rabbi Zera. What's Rabbi Zera? Who knows what Rabbi Zera is? Oh, the Bach explains it. But Rabbi Zera is famous. It's a principle. Someone who asked me about this, I forget. Maybe Mac or Mitnick. Kolaroy lebila, bila makeves. So there's a principle. Principle is by mincha, by karva mincha. So there's a certain. So that you basically have in the mincha in this kli in the vessel you have You have flour and you have oil. Okay, so the halacha is, it says balu lo bashemen. It should be mixed. They should be mixed. So the question is, do you have to mix it? Sounds like you do. So it says that if you have the amount, how much are you allowed to have in the vessel? So apparently, I think it's like 40 aferos, 40 asaron, 40 some measurement, 40 ounces, 40 whatever. If you have 40 of them, then you're able to mix it. So as long as you're able to mix it, then you don't have to actually mix it. Okay, it says, it's roi labila, if it's fit to be mixed, then even if you don't mix it, it's not ma'akev. But if you have 41, whatever, then if you're not able to mix it, because you mix it, it's all going to fall out, it's not possible. So then it's possible. So you could ask, does it have to be mixed? It does not have to be mixed. So that's Rabbi Zeir's principle. That kola roi labila, that if it's fit to be mixed, then the ein bila ma'akev espel. That the absence of mixing it is not ma'akev. It does not prevent the kashas of the thing. But kol she'ein roi labila, if it's not fit to be mixed, then bila ma'akevas. Then the non-mixing is disqualifying. Okay? So that's what he's saying here, is that similarly here, is that since it's fit to be bound, same thing, which is spread out. Spread out kosher, spread out not kosher. So this depends. If it's fit to be attached, to be bound, then that's fine. So it's kapos, means bound. If it's fit to be bound, that's good. And the absence of binding it is not a disqualifier. But if it's not fit to be bound, then that's possible. Okay? So that's the Tanakhama. But it says, then the Ron keeps going. Rabbi Yehuda Omar Yogdenu Milmaila. Okay? You have to bind it. Hainu Mishan Dabin on kapos mamash. He holds it has to actually be bound. So well, it's funny. I mean, he doesn't hold by this principle of kalav roin roil labila. I mean, you don't want to say that. So there's a question, but he holds it has to actually be bound. The lo tali beplugta lulav tzar chayga. This is not quite dependent upon the question about whether lulav has to be bound. Dehasam hainu laugdo imahadas ve'arava. Because of that question of whether you have to bind the lulav is talking about you have to bind the lulav together with the hadas and the arava to make one bundle. That's machlokas. But v'ha'cha shiyu olav mechubarim v'lo prudim. This is not talking about that. This is talking about that the leaves of the lulav are attached as opposed to separated. So it's a totally separate thing. Binding the lulav there, that question is whether you have to bind the lulav and Esther and Hadas together. But this is a different question. I know. That's what's funny. It's bothersome to me. It's, what's the Havmina? I mean, if you do this, you have a little talk. It's clear that's what's talking about. Aged means you're binding together. I mean, we just did it a second ago, but if anyone knows anything about Lo Tzarach Hege, that's what's talking about. So what's he? And it's clearly that this is not talking about the Hadas Narav. This is talking about the love of Nesrik. So what's the love? You know, the love itself. So what's he bothered by? What's his question? What's his answer? And it sounds like totally, you know, for someone who doesn't know anything about the love. I mean,
don't make a mistake.
Yeah, because it says the word bind, the ein bind. I mean, it just sounds like you don't need the Ron to do that, right? I mean, if a kid in high school asks you a question, you say, no, don't you really different sugya, but you know, the Ron to do that for you. I mean, for us, it's helpful to do, you know, it's informative, but the Ron, I mean, if the Rishonim would do things like that all the time, they'd be a lot longer. And you look at the Gemara, you'll see it's not doing that. So that's a little bit of a problem. And the question is, what's the machlokas? That's a problem also. What's the machlokas here? Yeah, another question is, I think this is a question, is what about if it's, if the leaves are actually split? The leaves are separated from the spine. Then it seems like everyone agrees that that's possible, right? If you say that it doesn't have to actually be bound, it just has to be fit to be bound. So then, even if the leaves actually separate and fall off of the shadra, still it's fit to be bound. You can just take a rope and bind them together, right? So why is this whole machlokas is only if they're still attached and you're able to bind them? But the question is not if they actually separate, if Nifra 2, if they actually separate from the Lulav, it seems that then everyone's going to say it's possible. So, I mean, you sense that that's different, but maybe we could define that. Why is that different? Yeah, I mean, that maybe we take back that question, because the Ron doesn't learn like Rashi. I mean, it's not clear. I mean, the Ron seems to learn that the cold case of Nifra 2, Olav, Nifra 2 olav is a different case. It doesn't mean where they split off totally. Okay, it doesn't say that's what it's talking about. So, but I guess according to Rashi, still have the question. Oh, no, but still good, because I see further on says, of course, in that case, it's possible. The Ron's saying, of course, if it actually splits, it's possible. He's not arguing on whether that's possible or not. He's just saying, is that what the Mishnah's talking about? But definitely, everyone agrees, if the leaves actually fall off and they just tie them together, it's definitely possible. So why don't you say, no, it's fit to tie them together? Okay. Okay, so that's so hopefully we'll take up tomorrow. Let's shoot for... The first question is, again, the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos about Adar, what's the soul of Lovei Avesh? And then the second thing is this Ran, what's the Machlokes interview in the Chachamim, about whether you have to actually bind together the, you know, the Lulav or not. It would be good if we could explain this idea of Roi Lebila, at least some sense of what that principle is. Comes up a lot, by the way. You should be familiar with that principle. Make a mental note. It comes up a lot. And they never explain it fully. But you see, Kol Roi Lebila. That's what it's talking about. Bila means mixing. Bilula Vashama. Okay, we good?